podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Actually kind of quiet off stage. A lot of people don't realize that. I was at a dinner party recently. A bunch of people that I don't know. One guy talking plenty for everybody. Me, myself, right, and then I, and then myself, and me. I couldn't tell this one about I because I was talking about myself, and then me. Beware the me monster. So I tried to jump in with a little story. I don't want to just sit there the whole night. Right when I'm done with my story, this guy goes, "That ain't nothing." Oh, well, didn't mean to waste everybody's time. Telling my nothing story. Here, let Marco Polo speak. He's back with tales of adventure. Story ain't nothing. Maybe it wasn't, because I made the mistake of trying to tell a story about having only two wisdom teeth pulled, and I learned a lesson. Don't ever try to tell a two wisdom tooth story, because you ain't going nowhere. Before wisdom teeth, people are going to parachute in and cut you off at the pass. Halt! Halt with your two wisdom tooth tail! You will never complete one, trust me. I'm trying to tell my story. You know, I had some wisdom teeth pulled. I had four pulled. Oh, okay. No, five, no, nine. I had nine wisdom teeth pulled. All of mine were impacted. They were all coming upside down. The roots are wrapped around my tongue, coming out my nose. They were tusks. I was a war hog. No anesthesia. They pulled them out with pliers. I was eating corn on the cob that afternoon. Pinned the blue ribbon upon his chest. That knocks the socks off of my wisdom tooth tail. Why do people need to top other people? I've never understood it, and I see it all the time. Obviously, people get something out of it. At best, people wait for your lips to stop. Yeah, as soon as... Okay, yeah, you, me! You see the difference? You see that? Now I do. What is it about the human condition? People get something out of that. That's why I have a social fantasy. I wish I was one of the 12 astronauts who have been on our moon. They must love knowing they can beat anybody's story whenever they want. They can sit back quietly at a dinner party while some other person, some me monster, is doing his thing and let him go. Let him run with the line. While you be quiet. Oh, really? Let him have his moment. Yeah, I'm a big traveler. I have my business all. I got my own global enterprise. I got to check. You know, driving in the Autobahn because I keep a fleet of sports cars over in Zurich. You know, I got a Swiss account that I want to check it. Mount Kilimanjaro expedition, might have to cancel that. You know, runway's an aspirin a lot shorter the first time you go in there. You know, the Pacific Rim Company. I'm going to try to take that over. Global enterprise. I walked on the moon. Well, you have the floor, Moonwalker. You know, you mentioned driving on the Autobahn. That reminded me. Once I was driving in the Sea of Tranquility. In my lunar rover. And I, too, was worried about our speed till I remembered, wait, we're the only ones on the moon. You guys are great. Thank you very much.
All right, so this morning we are continuing our series, Random Wisdom. We've been plucking some proverbs out and juicing the wisdom out of them. And so today we come to Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 2. You can turn there in your Bible if you would like, Proverbs 27, 2. It's on page 468 if you have a pew Bible. I believe also I have a slide of that particular verse on the screen, Proverbs 27 and verse 2. And if you'd like to read it from the screen, let's recite it together, okay? Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you would apply this proverb to our hearts today, that we would understand your wisdom, Lord, that we would be able to reflect on our own lives and our own hearts and our own motives and attitudes, and Father, that you might speak to us and correct us and help us, Lord, guide us in this life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So never before in the history of mankind have individuals had as much power as you have today to promote yourself. You think about that for a moment. Social media and the internet have made it possible for you to reach a global audience from your kitchen table in your pajamas. And I have a question about that, and it is that a good thing? Is that really a good thing? Well, let me give you a Facebook answer to that question. It's complicated. It's complicated. So maybe you're selling a product or a service, and you need to promote or advertise, and it's necessary for you to get the word out for your business to succeed. While in the old days, you might hire an ad agency, and they would do the work for you, now you can be your own ad agency. You can promote your own business. And if it helps you promote and expand your business, well, it's a good thing. But maybe your product is you. Or maybe you're selling yourself. You sing songs, you write stories, you give opinions, you're a consultant, you give advice. Whatever it is that you do personally, man, the internet's great for that too. It's opened up opportunities that never existed in the past. It would be a mistake not to use it for publicity in our day and age. So social media and the internet can be wonderful tools, and they can become a cost-effective way of getting the word out about what you are up to. And even we in the church, you know, we're usually the last ones to embrace any form of new technology. We've gotten on board at the church too. Whether it's VBS or our youth group or mission opportunities or prayer requests or just trying to communicate what's happening to our flock and beyond, it's a great way to do it, to use this fabulous tool of social media. Do you hear a but coming? Yes, you do. Good for you. But, there is a danger in all of this. There is a danger in all of this. And Solomon, who knew nothing about Instagram and WordPress and Twitter, said it all in this verse, Proverbs 27, verse 2. Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth. Now, certainly if he had known about our culture, he might have said, let someone else praise you and not your own keyboard, not your own cell phone. Let an outsider bring you praise and not your own lips. The Message version puts it this way, don't call attention to yourself, let others do that for you. So let's dig a little bit deeper when it comes to commendation and praise and recognition and approval in this life. There is a bad, there is a better, and there is a best. So let's begin with the bad. Solomon says, praise for yourself should not come from your own lips. That's his principle. And in one of his letters, the Apostle Paul mentioned some folks who were involved in this type of practice. So we notice that this is a New Testament principle as well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they're only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. how ignorant. The Apostle Paul is saying we should compare ourselves rather than to one another, trying to put ourselves on the spectrum, say, you, me. Rather than putting ourselves on that spectrum, we should compare ourselves with the Lord. And so he says, we're not like those who tell you how important they are. We're not like those who are telling you how wonderful they are. You get the picture. The bad is when you toot your own horn. When you toot your own horn. So in Solomon's day, and in Paul's day, people had a much smaller audience of folks that they could attract. In order to toot your own horn, you had to exercise self-flattery one-on-one or in small groups, right? With a group of people that you were with. So this is not just about thinking too highly of yourself. What we're talking about here is about letting others know how awesome you are at the same time. So not only do you think highly of yourself, you make sure that others know how important and fabulous you are by letting them know with your own words. Now, in our day, we have access, for better or worse, to a much bigger audience. So self-flattery suddenly becomes shameless self-promotion, overselling yourself and living for your own glory. We all remember the kid in school who used to have the everybody's attention. Look at me, look at me. Didn't matter whether they were doing something good or something bad. They were just living for the attention of everybody else in the room. Well, that kid has grown up and found a much more sophisticated way to turn eyes and heads. So at the very least, this type of behavior is annoying and it's nauseating to others. But at its worst, it's just flat out evil. It's the sin that caused Satan to fall as he tried to puff himself up above God. It's the pride that comes before our fall. That, by the way, is a proverb, chapter 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. It's the complete opposite of Christ-likeness, if you think about it, because Christ came from heaven to earth. He had all the power of God. But Scripture tells us that he didn't consider it a thing to be grasped. He laid it aside in order to serve and to humble himself for others. The only time he used his miraculous powers was in service to those who were hurting in this world. He never used them to promote himself. He used them to help others. In fact, this haughty spirit of tooting your own horn, it's the antithesis of the fruit of the Spirit, right? The fruit of the Spirit is peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. It's not about making yourself into something. See, nobody really likes a me monster. So what is the difference between good self-promotion then and bad self-promotion? How can we use the tools that we have, and we said are good tools, how can we use them in a way where we can get publicity, but we can at the same time honor God in the midst of doing that? Well, there's a word of advice here, and that is there's a good marketing and there's a bad marketing. The good marketing is when you tell people who you are and what you do in an honest, truthful way, and then you deliver on it. You tell people who you are and what you do in an honest way, and then you deliver on it. You emphasize your work, you emphasize the product, and then you let it speak for itself. That's good marketing. Bad marketing is when you create an image that's false. When you puff yourself up to such an extent that when the truth is known, you can't help but disappoint. Let me give you an example of that. What if we were to write on our website, Quaker Gap Baptist Church is the friendliest, most talented, godliest church on God's green earth, and our pastor is the best-looking, most gifted communicator this side of glory. What would happen? Don't laugh too loud. What would happen? What would happen when a visitor reads that on our website and then walks in on Sunday morning? Instead, we need to promote the truth. Quaker Gap Baptist Church is a group of flawed people who are saved by the grace of our great God who are trying very hard to bring glory to God through this life and through their worship. Sometimes we succeed, often we fail. Our pastor's just an average guy who preaches from his understanding of the Word of God, knowing that apart from that, his opinion doesn't matter and nobody cares. Now, maybe that doesn't bring in the multitudes, right? Maybe that's not very exciting, but it's true. And truth is God's language. Always remember that when you go to write something about yourself. Truth is God's language. Always remember that when you take a picture of yourself and put it on social media. Truth is God's language. So there's a good marketing and there's a bad marketing. So listen up. You have been put on the face of the earth and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ for the purpose of bringing Him glory. Remember that. You were put on the face of this earth and saved by the Lord Jesus Christ for the purpose of bringing God glory. If you want to promote someone, promote Jesus first. If you want to toot a horn, toot the gospel horn. If you can promote Jesus, though, if you can promote Jesus and market yourself by telling the truth about what you do, then by all means, do it. But if your promoting of yourself and marketing of your greatness leaves no room for Christ on the throne, you need to humble yourself before God, and you need to get a grip on reality quickly. So to toot your own horn is bad. But let's move on to the better, because Solomon says there's something better than tooting your own horn. He says, let someone else praise you, right? Don't let praise come from your lips. Let it come from the lips of others. So it would be better if you would stand back while others sing your praise. So don't go around tooting your own horn. Stand back and let others sing your praise. Solomon says that's a much better way of living your life. And I think this is why perhaps publishers these days cover the first few pages of a book with glowing reviews. Have you bought a book recently and noticed that? Used to be that you would open the book, there would be an acknowledgement, there might be a preface, and then boom, you'd start reading the book. Now you've got pages and pages of little comments by people telling you how great this book is going to be before you even get to page one. I think they're afraid that you bought the book, but you're just going to set it aside. Or maybe they're afraid that you're in the bookstore and you're going to look at the first few pages, and they're going to tell you how great the book is before you even have a chance to read it. So, if the author said himself, the author put on the front of his book, hey, this book's going to change your life, you better read it right now, it wouldn't seem very humble. But if another recognized author or celebrity says something great, you might be inclined to read some more. So that's what they do. And of course, there are a few publishers who will include negative reviews on the cover. All right, so most reviews look like this. You will enjoy this book. It's a real page-turner. I couldn't put it down. And it'll be the name of a famous author. You'll say, wow, that's high praise. I'm going to read that. But then there are other books. Can you imagine if they were to write, this is a book. To read it, you must turn pages. To turn pages, you must pick it up. Unknown reader. So do you see the power that receiving praise from someone else can bring with it? And what I believe Solomon is trying to say is this. To walk around broadcasting your greatness is ugly, and nobody likes that. But if you're a good person, and you do a good job, and others start noticing, and they start sharing that with others, that is much preferred. That's what you should desire. If praising yourself is bad, then receiving praise from others is better. Now, why do I say better? Why do I say better? It's because there is danger in the forest, Bambi. There is danger. What is the danger? Well, the first danger in that is this. When you start believing your own press and you become conceited. So when others start singing your praises about what a great job you've done, and you start believing it and you become conceited, you're back to number one. It's no better than number one. You're still promoting your own self. Number two is when you enjoy the praise of others and you begin to live for it. In other words, you are living your life in order to get praise from others. When your life and behavior is shaped by pleasing others. And so we manipulate things in order to receive praise from people. And this becomes just as annoying as tooting your own horn. And it can become evil as we are no longer living our lives to glorify and please God, but we're manipulating our life in order to receive glory for ourselves from others because we begin to enjoy hearing what others have to say. About 4 years ago, there was a new word that was added to the Oxford English Dictionary. That word was humble brag. Humble brag. The definition of that word is an ostensibly modest or self-deprecating statement whose actual purpose is to draw attention to something of which one is proud. So it's when you humbly mention something in passing, but your true intention is to get some sort of recognition from that. There are a number of examples that have been gleaned from the internet. These are actual tweets from folks that I pulled off the internet that were examples of humble bragging. One is, applied to 6 jobs and got all of them. This is stress. See, this poor guy, right? It's so stressful for him. Well, in reality, what's he want you to know? Exactly. Another example, just rolled out of bed, wearing sweats and a ponytail. Guys are hitting on me. Like, really? Okay, yeah, poor girl, right? It's obvious what she's trying to get across. The next one, graduating from 2 universities means you get twice the calls and letters for donations. Hashtag pushy, hashtag annoying. Oh, the poor guy, right? The next one, she says, did you see my segment on Fox News last night? My hair was a mess. Hashtag, am I right? No, I didn't see your segment on Fox News last night, but now I know that you had a segment on Fox News last night, and apparently that's what you wanted me to know to begin with. The next one, I can't believe it's 3 years since I graduated from Harvard. Hashtag, time flies. Right? Oh, yeah. He's bemoaning the fact that time flies to make sure that you understand where he graduated from. Another one, signing photos of myself never ceases being a strange and awkward experience, right? Oh boy, people are actually stopping you along the road to get your autograph. What a horrible thing. So these are all examples of a humble brag. There's a cartoon that kind of fits in with Brian Regan's comedy at the beginning of our message this morning. And the cartoon is of an astronaut standing on the moon, and he says, ugh, these moon boots are so hard to walk in. It's a humble brag. Humble bragging is a way to elicit attention from others without actually bragging about it yourself. This is awesome, right? It's an opportunity for you to say something demeaning about yourself and to receive praise from others. There's a problem, though. There was a study that was done by Harvard and the University of North Carolina, neither of which I graduated from, that concluded that you are better off outright bragging than you are humble bragging. Why is that? Because people know what you're up to, and it's actually more foul to them than outright bragging. Look, in this broken world that we live in, if I alter my behavior in order to receive praise from others, if I begin to change the way I live, if I begin to change the way I act and the things I say in order to elicit a response and approval from others, I am surely headed in the wrong direction. There's no way that's going to end up good. But before I go too far, let me acknowledge that there is nothing wrong from receiving approval from others, right? There is also nothing wrong with feeling a sense of satisfaction from that approval. However, be careful. There is a fine line between doing the right thing and being recognized for it and doing the right thing in order to be recognized for it. There's a fine line. So let's take the words of Jesus into consideration. He said, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. And then I can imagine the tweet of this person who says, I've been volunteering so often, the folks at the soup kitchen think I work there now. It's a humble brag to let people know that you've been volunteering at the soup kitchen. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And I can see the tweet for that too. Have you ever prayed so long that you get dizzy when you stood back up? Hashtag vertigo. See how much I've been praying? Jesus also said in Matthew 6:16, when you fast, do not look at the somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they're fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Can you see the tweet? Wow, I just gave a homeless person a 20 and now I can't afford lunch. I guess it'll be a fasting day for this guy. See, humble bragging is nothing new. Jesus had to address it. It all goes to your motive. So let me give you an example to help you understand this. Let's say that your neighbor was injured and that you notice that their lawn is beginning to get tall. And so you say, I think I'll go over there with my lawnmower and I'll mow the yard. Do a nice thing. You've done the right thing. Good for you, right? Now, if they come and they thank you and they take your picture mowing the yard and they put it on Instagram and they tell others about what a wonderful neighbor that you are and that makes you feel good, that's okay. I mean, you're a human being. That's all right. That's a whole lot better than telling other people what you did or humble bragging it as a reason why you were late for an appointment. Or, oh, I ruined my new white tennis shoes mowing my neighbor's yard. What a pain in the neck. That's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better not to humble brag, not to tell everyone what you did, but to wait for your neighbor to talk about you. And that's what Solomon's saying. There's a bad and there's a better. But now here's the real test. What happens if nobody ever says a word about it? What if you don't even get a thank you note? What if there is no public attaboy for what you did? You just mowed the yard and you never heard a word about it. Will you mow it again next week? So that leads us from bad, which is tooting your own horn, to better, which is standing back while others sing your praises, to best, which is make much of God. So now, admittedly, I'm going beyond Solomon's proverb, right? Solomon didn't go this far. He just talked about the bad and the better. But I'm going to take you a step further. I may be going beyond Solomon, but I'm not going beyond Scripture, because here's what Jesus said. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So what Jesus is saying is better than standing back and letting others sing your praise is doing what you do in this world for the glory of God, hoping that maybe others will see it and that they will give praise to God for what you've done. Make much of God. In fact, the only approval that we should ultimately crave in this life is the approval of God the Father. No need for self-promotion. No need for approval from others. No humble bragging. Just live your life, tell the truth, and seek approval from God alone. That's how we're supposed to be motivated. A verse by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, he says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You see that he gives the difference here. There's a difference between one who lives their life in order to please people and for recognition and praise from people, and the one who is a servant of Christ, whose goal is to please and God, and to win God's approval. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Paul says, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. For it's not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one who the Lord commends. So now we're stepping it up a notch. See, the bad is to praise yourself with your own mouth. The better is to allow someone else to praise you. The best is for God to commend you through what you do and through his love for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. The day's coming when all that stuff that you did and you didn't say a word about it, you just did it in silence and nobody noticed. A day's coming when the Lord will reward us for those things that we've done in secret. I've known folks throughout my time as a pastor that have gotten a little bit bent out of shape because they didn't get the recognition that they felt they deserved. So, you know, I've been working at this ministry for years and years and years, and nobody has ever noticed. So, you know, sometimes in the church we notice things like that and we do our best to let everyone know about the great job that so-and-so is doing. Bring them up front and give them a plaque. Give them a pat on the back. You know, we give them a gift or something in order to bring them up publicly before others and acknowledge what they're doing in the Lord. And that's a good thing. But sometimes we don't see what's happening or we take it for granted and it just happens. Well, if you are a person who serves the Lord and does the same thing over and over and over again, and you're wondering when your recognition is coming, look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Because it's coming. It's coming. So the counsel of Scripture is this. You should crave the consummate commendation, which is this. Well done, good and faithful servant. The words of our Lord. That's what we work for. To hear the words of our God. Now I want you to understand something. This is important. You are a believer in Jesus Christ. Now I'm assuming something here. Maybe you are not a believer in Jesus Christ this morning. You've not put your faith in Him. But right now I'm speaking to those who are believers in Jesus Christ who have put their faith in Him for salvation. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know these truths. You are loved by God. You are complete in Him. He has made you perfect through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You have been forgiven of your sins, and when He looks at you, He doesn't see your failure and your errors and your mistakes. He sees the beauty of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you. This is what God sees. You are fully approved by Him. You are pleasing to Him. And if you truly understand this in your heart of hearts, if you truly understand this and it sinks deep into your being, you will need no approval from anyone else because God approves of you through His Son, Jesus Christ. So you can live this life in honesty and in truth and just be yourself, not looking for promotion from others, not self-promoting, but allowing yourself to rest in the knowledge that you have a God who is your Father and loves you deeply, and He is fully pleased in you. So the sign of Christian maturity is not to promote yourself. That's bad form. It's not to seek promotion from others. That's slightly better. But it is to promote the name of Jesus. That is the best. Quit trying to be somebody and let Him be your everything and promote Him as your God. I want to encourage you this morning, brothers and sisters, to live your life in this world in such a way that God receives the maximum praise, honor, glory, and credit for everything that you do. And if you feel like bragging about it, brag about Jesus. Brag about Jesus. And don't be humble about it at all. You brag about Him. Because you can never brag too hard on Jesus. Now, while it would be nice to have walked on the moon and know that your story tops everybody else's story, isn't it even better to rest in the confidence that in Christ Jesus you are loved and approved by the One who created the moon? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word to us this morning, and I pray, Father, that we would learn to live our lives before an audience of one. Lord, that our heart's greatest desire would be to know You. And, Father, to recognize Your love and Your approval in such a way that it stimulates us as human beings to live life to the fullest. Father, I pray that You would receive the glory and the praise for our lives. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. Lord, we live in this world with such mixed motives. I pray, Father, that you might heal our souls in such a way, Father, that we would recognize who you are, that we would know what you think about us, and Lord, that it would fuel the way we live. Father, that others might know who you are through the way that we live our lives. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.